donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back, and we really need to play this clip because you folks really need to know in Ohio. This will be played several more times in Ohio tomorrow, and people need to be aware of what is happening. So go ahead and take her away.
So for those of you who may not have been watching, the Biden-Harris regime busted, thankfully. Hopefully this gets out a lot wider. I want you to share this video. Using a secret rule to Trump-proof the entire Department of Justice. They have two departments in particular to focus on. How do you Trump-proof something? Well, there's a schedule available to them that they are utilizing to handcuff Trump before he can ever begin. Biden and Harris have been rapidly Trump-proofing the Department of Justice as the election looms near. And Biden and Harris caught Trump-proofing DOJ with midnight appointments, and they are in full tilt. We're going to wrap back around to that story, but they're doing many things to prevent Trump right now. I hope you've been following the RFK saga, suspending his independent presidential campaign, supporting Trump. Now, there was a thought process behind that, because if he could remove himself from certain state ballots, it would give Trump a better chance of winning. But what happens if that isn't allowed? And that's exactly what's happening in several states. States keep denying RFK Jr.'s request to be removed from their ballots. We'll go state by state. The swing states to focus on in particular. Because in some of those states, he may be unable to withdraw his name. How convenient that is. In about 10 battleground states where my presence would be a spoiler, I'm going to remove my name, and I've already started that process and urge voters not to vote for me, Kennedy stated. He knows the urgency of this. So let's focus on seven key states, shall we? Arizona, it got through. Thankfully, his name will be removed. RFK's campaign filed official paperwork with our office today, withdrawing him from Arizona's 2024 election. That filing will be available on our website tomorrow. So his name will come off the ballot. At least of at time of this recording. Things tend to change quickly. Georgia is in question, but wait, there was a ruling. Yeah, there was a case, and there was a ruling by a judge against allowing Kennedy and three others on Georgia's presidential ballot. Should take him off the ballot, except one man this now gets kicked up to. And you know who he is? That's right, Raffensperger, who has the choice, if he so choose, to still put him on the ballot. What will he do? We know how embattled this relationship between Trump and Raffensperger's been. Now we're going to see what he decides to do. That could throw that state into question. Michigan absolutely blocked it. RFK will appear on the ballot. Will appear on Michigan ballot despite suspending his campaign. They're not going to take it down. The Democrats who worked so hard to get his name off the ballot now suddenly want it to stay on because they believe, and RFK believes, that will hurt Trump's chances. Nevada, at time of this recording. However, RFK will be removed. There's a suit you see there in front of you. RFK Jr. will be removed from the Nevada ballot, but will remain on Michigan and Wisconsin. We'll continue forward to those states. North Carolina, his name is going to remain on the ballot. Again, potentially hurting Trump's chances. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been nominated by the We the People Party as the party's presidential candidate to be listed on the ballot. The North Carolina State Department Board of Elections public official officer Patrick Gannon said that party has not informed the state board of any plans to change its nomination. You see how this is working? See how this is all working? There's a lot of gamesmanship here. Pennsylvania, shockingly, will remove his name. Of all the battlegrounds, perhaps none is being more contested by both Democrats and Republicans in Pennsylvania. Kennedy's candidacy has been challenged in court until Friday, when his lawyers filed notice that he no longer opposed the challenge. A judge then granted Kennedy's request to withdraw his candidacy. We need that state. Wisconsin, His name will stay on the ballot. He wrote him a letter. He asked to be withdrawn. They denied it. They're claiming this paragraph right here, vacancies after nomination. Wisconsin State Legislature says the name of the person that shall appear in the ballot, except in case of death of the person, the only way you're going to get removed. So the Wisconsin Elections Commission just voted 5-1 to keep his name on the ballot. How convenient. Just the beginning of the gamesmanship. Because you see behind the scenes, win or lose, they've initiated a plan against Trump to put him in handcuffs, to guard him prior to him ever stepping foot in office. Has a little bit to do with this memorandum. I think this was the day after Biden walked in. On restoring trust in government through scientific integrity and evidence-based policymaking. That worked out well. And how are they going to do that? By Trump-proofing the Department of Justice. Using non-competitive hiring authority to load up offices key to agenda with career attorneys. Don't worry, I'll tell you what that means and how impactful this is. Personnel is policy. What better way for the current administration to perpetuate its policy should Donald Trump retake the presidency than seating federal agencies with permanent appointees? They've been doing this under cover of darkness. Think of it as an insurance policy for the Biden-Harris administration's legacy. That doesn't exist, by the way. Documents obtained by Protect the Public's Trust, PPT, indicate that the administration may use an obscure hiring authority bypassing the normal merit-based... We have a lot of problem with merit-based hiring right now, don't we? They love DEI hiring, and this perpetuates that through a twist. Because if you actually know what the schedule we're about to discuss, Schedule A is, you'd say, wait now, that wasn't made for the Department of Justice. I'll show you that it actually was, or at least being used that way. Bypassing the normal merit-based competitive hiring process to beef up offices essential to protecting its agenda for future administrations. The document shown that the administration's Department of Justice is using Schedule A hiring authority to appoint hundreds of attorneys and judges to career civil service posts without competition from other candidates. Could this preserve Merrick Garland's position? You'd be surprised. It could, in some ways. Biden's got a plan to protect science from Trump. Well, they have a plan to protect a lot more in science from Trump. And it's already in motion. How a union joined the Trump-proofing craze. Which union is that? Here's the press release. AFGE Council 238 reaches new contract with the Environmental Protection Agency. Wins a deal that prioritizes DEIA, talent retention, remote work, enabling workers to meet climate emergency movement. It has ratified a groundbreaking new contract with a first of its kind. I'm going to go full screen so you can read along with me. A first of its kind scientific integrity provision that protects workers from political interference, a.k.a. Donald J. Trump, and ensures they will be able to continue to do their work protecting human health and the environment regardless of who is in power in Washington. They are Trump-proofing the administrative state. And they are utilizing the Office of Personnel Management and Schedule A. However, wait, Justice. Schedule A was for hiring people with severe physical disabilities, psychiatric disabilities, and intellectual disabilities. Yes and no. Because there's a provision much deeper in this document that will, well, open your eyes, and I'll show you that here in a second. Because down deeper in this document, not only does it include those people? It includes positions of chaplain. It includes attorneys, law clerk trainee positions. Go down even deeper. It includes temporary or intermittent, I apologize, employment of professional, scientific, or technical experts. Wow, what a great duck and cover preservation technique they found. Any local physician, surgeon, or dentist. Positions of scientific, professional, or analytical nature when filled by bona fide members of the faculty. So guess what they're doing? They are taking the most politically left and giving them these appointments of attorneys and scientists to protect the administrative state. And they're using Schedule A to do it. Oh, and by the way, when you go way down here in U, you find appointments of persons with intellectual disabilities, severe physical disabilities, or psychiatric disabilities. The government does what it always does. It shows you one thing on the face and does another behind your back. And the Biden administration is using exactly that. How many would you like to follow along with me? Let me go a little bit larger here. How many of these appointees have already been made? Let's just continue down the list, shall we? Oh, you're right. 9 pages full. They are creating an army to counter Trump. They are creating a group of individuals that will guard him and handcuff him before he ever can walk into office. And this is being done right now, and no one's telling you about it. The powerful Environmental and Natural Resources Division, responsible for bringing cases against those who violate the national environmental laws, has been reinforced. The Department's Office of Environmental Justice. Nobody even knows about this. And then they're going to be stunned as to why Trump can't get anything done. Because in a precarious time, the Biden-Harris administration doubles down on the progressive... Oh, this is a whole nother department. The Antitrust Division. That they are also reinforcing. Biden's administration steps up antitrust enforcement, another division of the Department of Justice, another 150 attorneys. You see why they keep you distracted with all these little stories? Because they don't want you to know what's being done. They had no problem finalizing a rule to block Trump on Schedule F. We're not going to allow you to terminate the employees. As a matter of fact, we're going to go ahead and appoint them so that you cannot kick them out. So now you can't kick out the fat. You can't lower these agencies that haven't performed. And on top of that, we're going to put permanent appointees who report to us and are loyal to us to block every move you make. Now, to me, I would consider that a major move against Trump, not being reported in the mainstream media, only found by Protect the Public Trust. Biden-Harris caught Trump-proofing Department of Justice with midnight appointments, and they're going to load up all these key offices to assure that Trump is beyond handcuffed. He'll have to spend most of his time just trying to unwind it if he can. I greatly look forward to your comments below. I hope this opened a few eyes that don't yet understand the depth that this administration will go to preserve the interests of a very few who want to maintain control forever over this U.S. government. And trust me, their control has no interest in your freedoms, your liberties, or your way of life. I love you all. Until next time, Godspeed and God bless. Justice Knight.
All righty, we're back. And
that is so good, because we've been telling people they are living through a communist revolution. And if you go back and look at history, that's one of the things that they do in those governments before they finally take over and jump to a total communist state. They build up the party, strengthen the party, get rid of the opposition. It's the kind of thing that communism has done country after country after country, but because nobody knows history anymore, it's not taught in our colleges and universities, and the people are totally ignorant of how a communist revolution works. They're still thinking it's like Cuba, where they're marching in, fighting and taking over, but this is the way the modern revolutions are fought, right?
Yeah.
I don't see how that's constitutional, how they can get away with
it's
that.
Not.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
it ignores the Constitution. They've been doing all kinds of things that aren't constitutional, and who's done anything about it?
You see, that's the whole point. They've got a corrupt Justice Department that spins the truth where it comes to what's legal and what's constitutional and what is not constitutional. And this is why they hate the Supreme Court so much.
Mm-hmm.
When they have a ruling, then they say, well, the Constitution needs to be revised, that it is no longer suitable for today's society, that we need a new Constitution, we need to change it. And what we need to do is we need to deport every Democrat.
Yeah.
We'd like to get them saved.
What they want to do is either stack the Supreme Court and fill it with, 20 liberal judges, or get rid of the Constitution. Basically, it's anything that gets in their way of their revolution.
Right. Well, you know, and again, you know, what we see coming, we know, you know, Barack Obama, I have here in my hand, this is from September 28th, 2008. So that's what, 12, let's see, that's 2008, that's what, 16 years ago? Yeah. And so here, Barack Obama and the strategy of manufactured crisis. America waits with bated breath while Washington struggles to bring U.S. economy back from the brink of disaster. Sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? But many of these same politicians caused the crisis and left it to their own devices, and they will do so again. Despite the mass media, news blackout, a series of books, talk radio, and blogospheres have managed to expose Barack Obama's connections to the radical mentors, whether underground bombers, William Ayers, and Bernadine Dorn, Communist Party member Frank Marshall Davis, and others, David Horowitz and his discovery, the networking organizations have also contributed to a wealth of information and have noted Obama's radical connections since the beginning. Then he jumps down. I'm going to just jump down and read you the Cloward Pevens strategy of orchestrated crisis. And that's what's happening. There's going to be another crisis is going to arise here. In the earlier post, I noted the liberal record of unmitigated legislative disasters, the latest of which is now being played out in the final markets before our eyes, before the 1994 Republican takeover. Democrats and 60 years of virtually unbroken power in Congress with substantial majorities most of the time. Can a group of smart people studying issues after issue for years on end with virtually unlimited resources at their command not come up with a single policy that works? Why are they chronically incapable? Why? One of the two things must be true. Either the Democrats are unfathomable idiots or ignorantly pursue ever more destructive policies despite decades of contrary evidence, or they understand the consequences of their actions and relentlessly carry out anyway because they somehow benefit. That's exactly what we're up against, aren't we?
Well, we've been preaching the issue is never, never the issue. The issue is always the revolution.
Yep.
First and foremost, it's always, always the revolution. You know, earlier you brought up Charles Spurgeon. He was a preacher in the mid-1800s, and they called him the Prince of Preachers. They could go into a lot of things, but one of the things that he did that you and I have been talking about, he said, quote, "I often hear it said, do not bring religion into politics." And he said, "This is precisely where it ought to be." Now, he was British, you know. "The cabinet and the parliament do the work of the nation as before God. And I say enough of men without conscience. Let policies founded on wrong foundations be cast to the moles and bats." And the idea goes back to God. He says, "God grant the day come when the divisions between secular and religion shall be no more heard." We have the Supreme Judge, according to the Constitution, the Supreme Judge of the universe, and the Founding Fathers wanted our laws and institutions based on his Ten Commandments and teaching of his New Testament, and that's what we have gotten away from, and that has been our great downfall, right?
Well, this is what I've been preaching for 50 years, you know, from Genesis to Revelation. Every prophet, every priest, every preacher, every man of God, and none ensued this more than the Lord Jesus himself. Their faith and their politics were inseparable. They were one of the same. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yep, and it had up until 1954. That's the way it was. Prior to 1954, churches never had any problem speaking on political issues and going after political leaders. I've got a two-volume set of books here. The first volume is called Political Sermons of the American Founding Era, Volume 1. This is Volume 1, and Volume 1 only has 993 pages. Volume 2 is just a little tiny bit smaller. Political Sermons of the American Founding Era, two-volume set, almost 2,000 pages of the political sermons. The entire Constitution, the debate in the Federalist Papers, was the subject of most of the pastor's Sunday sermons, preaching and teaching what God had to say about what the people, the Founding Fathers, were working on in setting up the Constitution. But this stuff hasn't been taught in the schools. This knowledge was taken out of the public school system. And like they said, our nation, God, in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And they have been gradually taking all the important things out of the public school system so that we have a generation or two of historically illiterate people. And Pastor, like you have been saying for a long time, people have no understanding of Scripture. They're biblically illiterate. They're historically illiterate. They're economically illiterate. So when these people talk about the wonders of the new Bidenomics and the all this new stuff they're coming up with, which isn't old and new at all, it is the same old communist type of economics that's never worked anywhere in the world. People buy it because we have a generation or two that has no knowledge to counter what they're being told.
In that passage of Scripture, Joe, the Lord makes it very clear that his judgment on them is not because they were ignorant. It's because the knowledge was given to them and they rejected it. They
right.
Said,
well, in this case, it's been hidden and it's been rejected both, but a lot of it has been hidden, so that's still, it's the dark side, it's the Antichrist side that's tried to hide the information, and we have a complacent media that has turned against the country. There's no free press, and they continue to want the voter to be in the dark, don't they?
Right, and they've rejected Jesus Christ, and they've rejected his church.
Yeah.
And so, and
well, the scary part is the last line in that Hosea 4:6, and it said, well, basically it said, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And as we have been on this radio show talking about the horrific things that have happened to our children, the sexual assault from the Roman Catholic Church, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, and now the public school system. I've got a story that there's a tremendous attack on the children in the school system sexually, and it'll be ready by tomorrow night.
The entire elite in the Democratic Communist Party are pedophiles. Pedophilia, Joe, is rampant. Pedophilia, everybody, anyone who is anyone within the elite Democratic Party, Communist Party, they're pedophiles. And I see a lot of people don't realize, they think what I'm saying is radical. It's not radical, okay? You've had many of these so-called movies, these movie stars come out, the ones that are not involved in that, the and tell you that it's very well known. That's why they are not accepted, you know, or very even hardly tolerated by like people like Mel Gibson's and John Voight and others. What's his name? The Good, the Bad, and Ugly. Who am I thinking of?
Clint Eastwood,
yeah. They tell you that it's because of that. This is why they're barely even tolerated But, you know, they've got enough power that, you know, they can't be like so many of the others, you know, are, you know, they're, what are they calling that nowadays when they just want to get rid of you?
Cancel you.
Yeah.
They're canceled.
I was going to say suicided. But
yeah, well, that too. Arkansided, but they've canceled the word I think he was looking for.
Yes. Yeah, that was Hillary was known for the Arkansiding people, yeah.
Yeah.
But the cancel culture is what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
well, we know Real Clear Wire is a great source of information. They've got three stories out. Part one, Forbidden Fruit of the Classroom. Part two, You, the Taxpayer, Are on the Hook. This is all about sex abuse. And the third story is titled, My Story is Significant but Not Unique. Schools Caught Passing the Sexual Trash, Not Cleaning It Up. And this is a very long report. And basically, experts say the hundreds of school employees arrested each year and the more than $1.2 billion in related settlements paid out by the school districts in just the past last decade represent a mere fraction of the problem and a system that works to deny and hide the abuse of minors. As the Roman Catholic Church was doing, they called it passing the trash. When they found a priest that was molesting children, he was sent, instead of being punished, put in jail, he was sent somewhere else. And the schools have been doing this. And according to this article, the most recent outside research estimates only 5% of K through 12 sexual misconduct cases are turned over to law enforcement, and only a fraction of those receive prosecution. And as I go through this thing, here is the big line. I want you all to listen carefully. Quote, victims of sexual misconduct by school predators may number in the millions, which would surpass the size of similar scandals in the Roman Catholic Church or the Boy Scouts, according to reports from academics and different think tanks looking at this problem. I will also forget thy children. We see these children having sex 10, 11, 12 years old. We've had teachers having sex with students 10, 11, 12 years old. We see students having sex with other students. We've done stories where a gang of little boys was raping a little girl. These kids were around 12 years old. We see these kids becoming alcoholics, drug addicts. We see these children becoming addicted to the internet, pornography at extremely young ages. We're talking 10 and up. The mutilation, we see the suicide rates. I did a story where the psychologist said that they were booked up. There were people on a waiting list for children to get into therapy because of, you know, different problems. We have this horrible abuse of children in the country by parents, by, the government-sponsored homes when they have the child.
Foster homes.
The what?
Foster homes.
Foster homes. On and on, the stories we've done over, you know, the 15, 20 years, we've done over and over and over, and somehow this country has not gotten the idea who is suffering the most from the sins of the parents, from the sin that's manifested through this country. Who is harmed the most? Our children. God's precious gift to us are the ones
that are being
hurt the most.
Well, you've got the ACLU trying to get legislation passed to legalize pedophilia. Now, they know that the easiest
consent. Yeah, I mean,
the easiest way they can
do
it is try it through lawfare. Through the courts, this is where they sneaky. You know, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, lawyers! Woe unto you, lawyers! Woe unto you, lawyers!" And that's what they did. How they got Roe v. Wade passed? They didn't want to. They knew the politicians who were elected. They had to. They didn't want to go out and stick their neck out there to push Roe v. Wade. So they went through a corrupt and extremely, completely corrupt judicial. And I can tell you this, you know, I would, at least, I am absolutely convinced at least 7 of those 9 are burning in hell today on that court in 1973. And so, and that's what they're trying to do right now. They tried to do the lawfare against President Trump. They haven't stopped. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's through these corrupt lawyers out there that they're doing this. Look, you got planned predators handing out condoms to 10-year-old boys, right?
Right. And we brought that up and talked about why. Because they're promoting, you know, this sexual freedom, because it's more and more customers, clients for an abortion. In other words, they're promoting their own business. But this is the line that gets me. Defense of Freedom Institute. This is a conservative nonprofit that focuses on education and different things. Concluded in a study last year that the ease with which school officials can pass sex offenders to other districts explains why complaints of sexual violence filed with the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights more than tripled between 2010-2019. And it goes on about these, you know, how passing the trash, these mobile molesters, they call them.
We have to
they've
pass
got a
the
name,
break
mobile
right
molesters
now.
Because they've been passed from one school district to another, and quite often the
and
children
we
don't want
to
have to
pass the break. So
what?
We'll be back right after this.
Oh, right up, yeah.
None are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. For all of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear, the truth is alive and he lived as a life was a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed. And it will set you free. The truth will set you free. Just like he set me. Darkness, who stumble and fall. Your shepherd is searching, he's calling your name. He's seeking you out night and day. And if you should hear his sweet voice, let him guide you today. Because he is the way. Yes, Jesus is the way. He is the only way.
have been cleansed by the blood of a man whose death on the cross paid the price. There's only one name, and it's only through his sacrifice that we obtain his life. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the way and the truth and the life, whose grace is so wondrously free, who came from the Father and laid down his life, he is soon to return for you and me.
Truth and the life. Alrighty. You know, Joe, you know, we hit on this, we touched on this last week. A huge U.S. State Department pushed voting machine semiconductors prior to Brazilian election. Then the CIA pressured populist candidate Jair Bolsonaro to keep his mouth shut when he lost. Well, here, you know, former State Department official Mike Benz, the founder of the Foundation for Freedom Online, posted a very interesting tweet on the CIA, former President Jair, on the CIA, and as it was about former President Jair Bolsonaro, the U.S. State Department, and the electronic voting machines in Brazil. Mike Benz set for an interview with Tucker Carlson late last week, and in there where he first discussed the Biden regime's efforts to interfere in the 2022 re-election of populist favorite Jair Bolsonaro. The Gateway pundit posted the morning on the Biden regime, the U.S. military and the State Department and the CIA's efforts to alter the election results in Brazil in 2022. And the reason I did that is because, you know, they're going to do everything they can. They're planning on trying to disrupt this election, throw the election. The Democratic Party is completely corrupt. There's no part of it, no part of it at all, any part that's not corrupted. And so this is what...
And, if I could add to that, when I was talking about the children and the passing of trash at schools, one of the lines that I was just going to get to, they pointed out the lobbying groups, the teachers' unions, and the organization, the Center for Education, represent many, many school boards that are there as enablers. That one of the biggest problems has been those two big teachers' unions, and they're the ones that were protecting these teachers. These are the same unions that want to brainwash your children, want to tell your little boys that they can be little girls and your little girls that they can become little boys, and that, gay marriage is wonderful and, sodomy is great and all this stuff. These big, powerful unions are one of the greatest enemies in America. And people have to realize these teachers' unions are probably been one of the most destructive forces we've had since way back in probably, what, the 1980s?
Yeah. Yeah. They're the, also the ones
telling people, get your children out of the public school system, get them in homeschool, Christian school. There's a lot of combination, church schools, Christian schools with homeschooling. And, this is, the children are being misled, and we've got to put a stop to it if we care at all.
The irony, though, Joe, is this. Look, it's the insanity. It's the insanity of the Communist Party. What does a school need? The one thing a school has to have to be a school, and that's students, right?
Students, right.
Okay,
and
now,
a teacher.
Now, students in the public school system are children. And yet, and you need this, yet these unions are radically pro-abortion. They're radically pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And they're complaining.
Well, they wanted smaller class sizes.
I was just going to say that.
You were almost as quick, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't want to cut him off.
Yeah.
I was going to wait until he paused, and then I was going
to
say it, but you beat me to it.
I'm sorry. You want smaller class sizes. That's why they're pro-abortion.
Yeah, they want more pay.
It's so sick, the whole thing.
They want more pay, smaller class sizes. It's all disgusting.
Yeah, well, it's absolute. It's insanity. There's a criminal, insane element to the left out there.
Yeah.
So, it's... And this is exactly the way God's word in the Bible said it would be. We're exactly the way it said. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he tells you, in the last days, it's very specific there. It doesn't say in end times or later days or later times. It says in the last times. So that gives us an indication of where we are. Yeah. And so, but here, everything that is happening today, all of the insanity is listed right there. And, and then the Lord tells you in Psalm 2 that he will send them strong delusion. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, we have some very delusional people out there today, right?
You're right. Delusional is the word for most of these people on the left. Like at The View, you hear them talk, Whoopi Goldberg and all those. It's totally delusional. They're like people that are totally out of their mind. They're insane. They cannot see any truth. Everything is a perversion. Every perversion in their mind is good. Every
right.
good thing is bad.
And the scripture says all of those that hate God love death. All of those that hate God love death. And we see that. I mean, they love death.
Yeah,
there's an extreme wickedness. So we're up against virtually these are Satan's children. We're right up against Satan's children. That's who they are.
And we need to be, telling it and warn. Well, we've been trying to warn the people who they're, to who the enemy is, the Antichrist system, Satan's children, and this is a real spiritual battle. It's a physical battle. It's a political battle. It is, but underneath it all, it's a spiritual battle, and we've been saying you've got to run to the battle, fight the, every night we say fight the fight, we mean fight the good fight of faith. The born-again believers, the children, sons and daughters of God are supposed to be out there fighting this enemy, trying to save our children, save our families.
And that's why we keep saying, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Deceiving your own self, huh?
Your own self, yeah. Instead of sitting by watching what's happening, listening to the nightly news, but if you do nothing about what you know or what you see, do nothing about it, you are really, guilty. If you watch a robbery go down and you just sit and watch and don't report it, they charge you with a crime. And I do believe that God, if you sit there and see bad things happening, that you can do something about or speak up or give warning or something and do nothing, God is going to punish that.
Called sins of omission.
Amen.
Let me ask Kenny, how much time do we have?
We've got about 7.5 minutes.
All righty. You know what, Joe? The most important question that you can ask somebody is, are you saved? Now, What is the most important thing for a person to realize before they can get saved?
They have to be convicted of their sin. They have to understand they're a sinner, and a sinner needs a Savior.
Absolutely. So, you know, you have to start there, and it's just like anything else. If you're an alcoholic, okay, if you don't believe you're an alcoholic, are you ever going to get saved? Are you ever going to get out of that bondage?
No, you're not really. I've had to deal with that a lot in my life, people with addictions. And until they understand they are an addict, there is no chance of getting them into any kind of program, any chance of them halting
right.
the addiction.
So the Bible says you must be saved. You must be. Jesus said you must be born again. Is there any leeway there? I mean,
no. That word "must." There is no leeway. There's
it's
no
pretty concrete there.
So, yep, no exceptions there, right?
Right.
And so, but what if you say, "Well, look, you know, I think my good works outweigh my bad. I think I do more good than bad. That should get me by, right?"
God says the wages of sin are death. That's a final statement that is not open to interpretation.
If he said there's
the payment for sin is death, and God puts all sins at the same level.
He said there's none. There's none that's righteous.
Sin, huh? Big sin, all sins to God right. are the same.
He says there's none righteous. No, not one. Okay.
Not one.
Apart from God, you have no righteousness, right? And so
only through him can we have any righteousness at all.
So now, there's only one way. People have to realize that there is only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You must have a spiritual rebirth, period.
Right. So here we have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that was capable of being dying a substitutionary death. See, God the Father demanded a completely and totally and a holy and innocent sacrifice for sin.
The shedding of blood for the remission of sins. So he sent the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, right?
Right, and there was none other could have done it, none other fit. It was the Lord Jesus. Had he decided not to, then, well, you know.
None of us would be in heaven.
Right.
Literally impossible for us.
So here's what he says, Jesus said you had to do. He said you had to pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sins. And once you've done that, and see, people better realize this, you're going to die someday. And when that happens, the Bible says, God has said, it's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. And so when that happens, once you're dead, you're going to end up in heaven or hell. No other place. Believe me, you don't want to go to the latter. You really don't.
You can dream all you want, but God made it clear there's only two choices here. His way or...
It is God's word is the ultimate source.
Right. I mean, he created heaven and earth, right?
Right.
And the entire universe, everything in it.
It's the ultimate source of reality, Joe. It's the ultimate source of authority. Okay, it's the ultimate source of truth. And so he tells you once you've done that, once you've prayed to the Father and you've asked for forgiveness, then call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and you ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any exceptions, okay? And so here, does Jesus want to be put first?
Always, above everything.
He took our place upon that cross. Who did he put first? He put us first, didn't he?
He put right us first, exactly.
And so when he tells you, when you call upon his name and you put him first without any reservations at all, he's got to be number one. Once you've done that, will God always honor the commitment? Can we always trust God to do the right thing?
Always. God is all righteousness. He's holy. He's perfect. And he gives us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And once we have that, we are sealed by his promise forever. And we're in his hands, and no one can take us out of his hands.
So then, well, because you can't lose your salvation, okay? And the Bible does say who can take you out of the hand of the Father. In fact, he tells you in Romans 8 that he goes, you can search to the entire realm of life and death. There's nothing in life and death that can take you away from the love of God. In other words, can remove that salvation. Then he goes to the entire realm of the past, the present, and the future. There was nothing in the past, the present, or future that can take you away from the love of God or take your salvation. Then he goes to the entire universe. There's nothing out there in the entire universe can do that. And so that's what we call real security, folks. And so here, you've got an option. Now, a lot of people, I've had these young guys tell me they want to party hardy, and when they get old, I had this young kid say, when I get old like you preach, and then I'm going to get religion. And I told him, I said, with your attitude, son, you're not going to ever get as old as I am, okay?
Well, we've done funerals for a lot of young people.
Yeah.
Way too many.
And I told him, I didn't live this long by being stupid. You better learn, okay? And because you're right, you know, especially if you live in Chicago.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so folks, you have God's word on it. You have God's word on that. You must be born again. You must be born again. And when God tells you that there's a mansion in heaven, and that's eternity, it's for real. God, the ultimate source, this book he gives us, this King James Bible here, is a letter written from him to us, folks.
His word, his eternal word. And I have to add in there, I know a lot of born-again believers, we've all found a joy, a happiness in life. The marriage has got better, our relationship with our children, grandchildren, friends. Life is just totally different once you become born again. You have an inward peace about you. You have a more strength, more character. Just the transformation is wonderful.
It is, but we're out of time for tonight. So as we come to this time every night, thanks for being here. We want to say thanks. Thanks for all your support over the many years. And then we want to say good night.
Good night, all.
God bless.
Bless you.
And then always, let's do it.
Keep
fighting the
fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.